That's Merle Haggard, and that is the California Blues. And like the man said, you don't treat him right. Actually, everybody treated him right, but there was somebody offered to treat him even righter. So there you go. This is Taylor Report. I'll remind you, we are on SoundCloud and Facebook. And SoundCloud, we're Taylor-Report. And The Taylor Report on Facebook. Shortly, we're going to be talking to Zafar Bengash, Crescent International, and it's a good site, and I urge you to look it up. And Zafar knows the Islamic Republic, and he knows the region, and therefore we require his expertise, and if we have any luck, I believe the gentleman is with us. Are you there, Zafar?
Yes, hello, good afternoon, Phil, I am.
Well, thank you very much, Zafar. We're calling on you more and more because Donald Trump and Mr. Bolton, or what the foreign minister of the Islamic Republic calls the B team, keeps making more and more trouble. And
yes.
And each time there is something in this that makes us say, well, we have to understand, and particularly understand how dangerous this is. Iranian ship, a ship bearing Iranian oil,
right,
was boarded by British Marines off Gibraltar at the request, I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, that of the United States.
That is correct.
And
yes.
Several states have commented. I'm interested in all these things and want your opinion. I noticed I was kind of interested that Spain says they think that was in their waters, which, and Gibraltar is kind of an odd place on the map. It's British territory, and it controls the straits, therefore the Mediterranean.
Yes.
And at any rate, Iranians have said it's piracy, and there is talk of something perhaps happening in the Gulf, although the Iranians have they've used a calm voice on this. They don't intend to do anything adventurous, but taking that ship was adventurous.
Oh, absolutely. That ship, Grace One, was carrying 2 million barrels of oil, and the British have said that they boarded the ship at the request of the Gibraltar authorities. Now, that is quite a ludicrous assertion to make, because Gibraltar has a total population of 300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a British colony. It's illegally occupied by Britain. France lays claim to Gibraltar because it's just off the coast of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spaniards have said that that ship was in Spanish waters. And they have actually lodged a protest about it to the UN as well as the European Union, because the acting Spanish foreign minister is headed to become the chief of security of the European Union. And on Saturday, the Iranian deputy foreign minister Abbas Araghchi said that the British and the people of Gibraltar, or the government of Gibraltar, have claimed that this ship was carrying oil to Syria, but he said that that is not true, because it's a 2 million barrel carrying oil tanker.
Mm-hmm.
And the port in Syria, Bani As, is simply not capable of taking on such huge ships. And so Iran has said that this is piracy.
Mm-hmm.
And they have demanded that the ship be released immediately. The British ambassador to Tehran was called to the Iranian foreign ministry on Friday, and he was told in no uncertain terms that this ship should be released immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And some Iranian officials have also said that if Britain does not release that ship, that oil tanker, that then Iran would be within its right to
mm-hmm.
Board and seize British tankers. So I can tell you now, actually Bloomberg reported today that a British tanker named British Heritage, which was heading towards the Iraqi port of Basra to carry oil from there for British Petroleum, actually turned back and did not go to Basra for fear that Iran might capture that and detain that ship. So the situation obviously is getting quite worrisome. As you mentioned and hinted that there have been serious developments in the Persian Gulf, and now they have been escalated by the detention of an Iranian oil tanker by the British, when British Marines actually boarded it in the early hours of July the 4th. And the crew is still in detention. The people are still over there being held. And the British have not released the tanker so far.
Mm-hmm. And the backdrop to this is, and I'm sure as a journalist, you're noting it, that they're misrepresenting Iran's position because all this is allegedly to do with sanctions had to be imposed because of the relationship between the United States and Iran over their right to nuclear material. This is it's told now as though Iran is somehow violating something which was torn up and violated by the United States. They walked away.
Yes, absolutely. You see, the problem is that unfortunately people have a very, very short memory span. Secondly, the mainstream media continue to distort the reality. The actual agreement that was signed between Iran and six other countries on July the 15th of 2015, and then it was ratified through a UN Security Council resolution number 2231 on July the 20th, that clearly states that in return for Iran agreeing to limit its uranium enrichment at 3.67%, and that it is going to reduce the number of centrifuges that it is operating from 20,000 to only 6,000, that all of the sanctions against Iran would be lifted, including those by the United States. All of Iran's frozen assets would be released, and Iran would be free to trade in its oil as well as trade with European countries and other goods. All sanctions on Iran's banking sector would be lifted. All of the individuals and entities of Iran that were sanctioned, those sanctions would be removed. And any party that violates this agreement in terms of imposing or bringing sanctions against Iran, then Iran would be free to enrich uranium because that was the agreement that was made over there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Iran gave a full 1 year grace period to the Europeans and to, of course, Russia and China, that are the other signatories of this agreement, that since Donald Trump has walked away from this agreement unilaterally, which is a multilateral agreement, it was not signed with the United States alone. It was a multilateral agreement, and the articles of this agreement, particularly Article 26 and Article 36, clearly stipulate that any violation of this agreement by any one party would mean that the affected party, which in this case would be Iran, if sanctions are imposed upon it or the U.S. walks away from the agreement, that then Iran would be entitled to limit its obligations under this agreement. This is very clearly stated. I mean, anybody who wants to, you know, see it, they can go to the JCPOA, you know, which is called the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action Agreement. They can see it. It's written in black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And the Iranian foreign minister, in an interview with the New York Times on July, which was published on July the 4th, he said very clearly, he said that if Trump says that this is a bad agreement, then it cannot be bad only for the United States. It will be bad for Iran as well. So why is it that everybody is insisting that Iran should stick to the agreement, but nobody else is sticking to the agreement?
Yes.
It is not a one-way street.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that Iran has limited its uranium enrichment. It has allowed for intrusive inspections of its nuclear facilities. It has voluntarily accepted additional protocols, which are not even required of Iran, because it's a signatory to the non-proliferation treaty, under which, in fact, Iran should be getting help in its nuclear activities. And yet, far from helping Iran, all of these ludicrous sanctions have been imposed on Iran. Its oil exports are being targeted. Its ships are being seized all over. And then the media, the mainstream media, continue to harp on the point that, you know, it is Iran that is in violation of this agreement. And
breaching the agreement, violating the agreement.
Yes.
And it's, Trump has a very almost a sadistic, and I guess that's not a surprise, is it, a quality, saying that he is asked the British to do this in the name of EU sanctions. When the EU says that they want this deal, that Iran, the multilateral deal you just described, they say they want that.
Yes.
And then in their name, Trump says, I'm going to take that ship.
Yes. Actually, the excuse that they are using is that since there are EU sanctions on Syria, now this is the funny part of it, that the
I lost track of all the sanctions.
The sanctions are actually imposed on Syria, that Syria cannot receive goods, etc., from abroad, and that the same EU countries, several countries, including the United States, have no problem shipping weapons to the terrorists in Syria, but they have a problem allowing oil to be sent to Syria so that the oil shortages that people in Syria face can be reduced. I'm using their argument, although Iran is saying that this oil was not going to Syria because Iran had already, in May, taken some oil to Syria by land route. So Iran has that option to deliver oil to Syria if it wants to by land. So it doesn't have to go through international waters and expose itself to acts of international piracy, whether it's by Britain or by any other power.
Now, it's of course, there's just the actual this behavior be in the Mediterranean at a very sensitive place is, you would think there would be, and maybe there is, I don't know, there should be a Security Council discussion, because this is spreading possible conflict to whole new areas.
Yes, of course. I think this issue really ought to be addressed by the UN Security Council. But the problem with the UN Security Council is that if there is anything that comes up that is going to run contrary to U.S. interests, then obviously it would exercise its veto and nothing significant would be achieved. Although the although Iran has said that it will exercise all options, including going to the UN Security Council to lodge a protest, at the same time, Iran has said that if nothing comes of that, then naturally it would take the next step, and that is that it would feel free to capture British tankers that are carrying oil in the Persian Gulf. As I mentioned at the beginning, a British tanker, British Heritage, already turned back from the Persian Gulf and moved towards the Saudi coast because it was afraid that if it got closer to the Strait of Hormuz, which is under Iranian control, that this British tanker might be boarded and detained by Iran's navy. So as we see the situation, number one, the U.S., and in particular these war hawks like John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, these people and Mike Pence, the vice president, they are escalating tensions with Iran by issuing threats and, in fact, urging Trump to launch a strike against Iran. Although Trump realizes that if he were to initiate a war, he can start the war, but he cannot end the war. And that would put pay to his even his remote chances of getting reelected next year. Mm-hmm. So Trump does not want to go down that route. And his own base of, you know, right-wingers, et cetera, do not want any further wars. And at the same time, Bolton and others are egging on the Europeans to capture Iranian oil tankers in international waters by using these spurious excuses that this tanker was carrying oil in violation of EU sanctions against Syria. So basically, they are expanding the areas of conflict, and this naturally is not going to sit too well with Iran, and Iran would naturally retaliate to protect its own interests.
And so far, I guess, is the usual alignment, right? Actually, the Chinese government has been strong on this, and given the new difficulties they have with the U.S., they say they're not going to follow this at all, the sanctions on Islamic Republic.
That is correct.
And that's fairly significant, because there was a time when they would be rather mute on these subjects, but they're much more vocal now.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the Chinese are facing their own tariffs that the U.S. has imposed on them, and they have made absolutely clear that there is going to be no trade deal with the U.S. unless these tariffs are lifted, number one. Secondly, the Chinese have made it absolutely clear that the U.S. is imposing, you know, extraterritorial jurisdiction by imposing these sanctions. You know, the point that I think your listeners ought to keep in mind is that sanctions can only be imposed by the United Nations, by the United Nations Security Council. Countries cannot impose sanctions. These are illegal acts. These are acts of war if they impose sanctions. But the U.S. continues to do that all the time. Yes. It has done it against Iran. It has done it against
Someone
Syria.
Should tell our foreign minister, because she believes in rule of law. As soon as she finds out, she's going to be very peeved.
That's correct, yes. And they have imposed sanctions against Venezuela, against Cuba, against Russia. So I mean, there's a whole host of countries that the U.S. has sanctioned. And in terms of the U.S.'s what Trump calls maximum pressure and what Iran refers to as economic terrorism, even Russia has said that it will not abide by U.S. sanctions, that U.S. is acting outside the rule of law, and that the U.S. ought to get back to normalcy and stop provoking Iran in this manner. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Russia and China have both said that they would like to have this matter resolved diplomatically rather than through such pressure tactics or economic terrorism that the U.S. is exerting on Iran. Mm-hmm. But we can see the alignments that, you know, on the one hand, the Europeans, for instance, have been saying for the whole year that they would like to keep this nuclear deal with Iran alive. And they kept on urging Iran that you should stick to your part of the bargain. We are working on a mechanism whereby we can provide you a facility, financial facility, so that trade can continue. But a few days ago, when there was a meeting in Vienna, what the Europeans came up with was, through INSTEC, they put in a couple of million euros into a fund, and they said, well, you can use these couple of million euros to buy medicines and essential food, whatever. Now, a couple of million euros are peanuts. You know, Iran needs billions of dollars. The agreement says that Iran should be able to trade freely without these illegal and immoral sanctions that have been imposed upon Iran. And yet the Europeans keep on stringing Iran along, telling them that, well, you stick to the deal. We are working on something, and we'll come up with something. They haven't come up with anything in an entire year. And Iran is getting tired of this.
Yeah. You know, it is. It shows a colonial mindset. It's like, here's something, go away. It's like they're a little display only.
Yes, but even so, when Iran said that it was going to limit its adherence to the nuclear deal, they gave a 60 days notice. They didn't do it unilaterally. On May the 8th of this year, Iran announced that we give 60 days notice to the Europeans to come up with a solution. They still didn't do it. They said, until July the 7th, we give you that. If you don't come up with it, any solution, then we are going to begin to increase our enrichment. And even so, they have only increased that enrichment from 3.67% to about 4.5%, which is minuscule compared to, like, you know, in terms of uranium enrichment. Once Iran goes past the 20% threshold, then it becomes an issue of, you know, them getting closer to heading towards the 90% purity that is used in nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. But Iran has said that they're not interested in nuclear weapons, but they're going to enrich uranium for their own needs.
By the way, we could underline that, right? I mean, that was the position of Ayatollah Khomeini, right? He said he said it would be immoral to have it.
Exactly.
And you know, that's the political leadership unquestioned of the country, and yet everybody talks like it's a given that they would have the intention of developing a weapon. I mean,
you know,
going against the wishes of the Ayatollah Khomeini is a pretty big step.
Of course. The Israelis have been making allegations against Iran since 1996. They've been saying that Iran is going to have a nuclear bomb in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from 1996 to the present time, it has been 23 years. And Iran has not had a bomb. American intelligence agencies are saying that Iran is not heading towards making a bomb. Every intelligence agency, the International Atomic Energy Agency, has said that Iran is not making a bomb, that they have adhered to their commitment in this nuclear deal. And yet, the Americans and some outlets in the West continue to make these scandalous allegations against Iran when there is absolutely no truth to it.
Yeah. This is Zafar Ben-Gash, Crescent International. I'd better ask you lastly, it's as close to this topic. What is the status of this terrorist center in Idlib? Is there movement there to end that crisis? Do you see any developments?
Well, you know, the Russians and the Syrians are absolutely determined to put an end to those terrorist pockets. But unfortunately, Turkey and the U.S. continue to play these very, very dirty games and keep these people protected and alive. So unfortunately, much as that last stronghold of the terrorists ought to be wiped out, the Americans and the Turks are not allowing it to be dismantled so that the Syrians can live in peace. Mm-hmm. But I think ultimately it will be gone. There is no doubt in my mind, because they have been holed up in a small area.
There is some fighting, right? I mean, there is some military activity.
Yes, of course. Of course, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Zafar Ben-Gash, we're so fortunate we can talk to you. It's been very informative, and we're going to have to keep an eye on it. We hope we can talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Phil. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Bye. This is Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5 FM.